Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Sherry, who is here to talk with us about the most recent upcoming new practice opportunity, Talk and Tell. Welcome, Sherry.
Hi, Jen. Happy to be here.
Great. So maybe you could just start us out by telling us a little bit about the program, and then we can tell people how to sign up and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to. So Talk and Tell is a two-week program. It's a training program that focuses on transcending resistance. And we're going to be using recording and listening during the 2 weeks as a way to train and to practice. And so what's a little bit different about this program is that people can sign up to receive, there's going to be prompts every day to give people something to record and listen about. And they can receive them either by email or by text. So that's going to be kind of something fun, yeah.
So when you sign up for it, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, yeah, so people will sign up to receive them either by email or text, or they could just go. We're also going to be posting the prompts on a website, but that there will be daily prompts that will give people a little bit of something to practice with around resistance and then do some recording and listening. And then at the end of the day, everyone who is participating is going to log in and click a really fun button to tell each other that we practiced that day. And we're going to be keeping a log of that so that it's sort of like reminiscent of when we were counting steps together.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's really fun. I hadn't made that connection. Yeah, that it's like a practice way of getting our steps in for the day. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I loved when we were all doing the counting steps together and there was sort of a running total going. And I remember for me, I felt like, you know, when I was doing my steps that I wasn't alone. And I'm hoping that this program will have that same sort of feel. Like we're all in this together. We're all practicing together and we're sort of on a daily basis able to sort of like let each other know that. That's sort of where the talk and tell came from.
Yeah, and the it's got both elements. But I'm practicing with this. I'm recording, listening about it, which is a big piece of the talking. But then we're also sharing with each other what we're seeing about it, and we're participating together. So there's just a ton of support for continuing, which makes resistance the perfect topic to debut this practice opportunity with, doesn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that just dropped in for me right before this call that I hadn't seen before was that the clicking on the button, I don't know, for me, I love clicking. There's something just funny about that and fun. But I was thinking it's kind of like the Gold Stars practice that many people in the Sangha have been doing, where it's just sort of like saying to yourself, like, hey, good job, you know, and it's a way, it's a way for us each to do that sort of individually, like click, you know, but it's also like a way for us as a Sangha to give ourselves a big star at the end of each day.
Yeah, you know, Sherry, it's interesting as you say that. What I've just been looking at that because we just finished the email class, and the extra credit assignment at the end of the email class was to choose one of the drills and to work with it for 30 days, do the 30-day retreat at the end of Making a Change for Good.
Mm-hmm.
And so day, was it two or three, whichever one was, I can't remember if it was today or yesterday, but anyway, of the retreat, talks about making it measurable. And with practice, that can sometimes be tricky in terms of, you know, I'm practicing with dropping the conversation. All right, you know, that's a kind of every moment kind of a thing. How do I make that measurable? And this is such a fun way to make it very concrete. You know, you click that, you do the exercise, and at the end of the day, you click that button there. You know, it's concrete. You've committed to it, and you've done it.
Yes, exactly. And I think, you know, the other thing I love that's related to that is it's the simplicity of it, which, of course, you know, so many times in our practice, what I love is when it comes back to that simplicity. Oh, I just, you know, let it go. I just breathe deeply. You know, I just come to the present moment, this here now. And I feel like this program is hopefully going to have some of that simplicity. It's like they're very short and simple prompts. And it's, you know, we're all going to just do it. We can all, it gives people that, like, you know, I know a lot of times for people it's like, well, what do I record and listen about? Well, what, you know, what should I record about today? And it'll give us that simple focus. And then, like you said, then we do it, and it's like there, you know, take that conditioning.
Yeah. Yeah, truly. And so this is being offered, I think, a couple of times in the year. Is that right? Twice?
There's going to be two, right. But this first
two.
One is going to be March 16th to the 29th. And then
mm-hmm.
there'll be sort of a second one offered later in the year.
Mm-hmm. And so I wondered if you might say a word or two about how you chose resistance as the first topic.
Ah, yeah. Well, because we're all training to live in this here now, and it, you know, certainly is my experience, and I think for many people, that resistance is one of the biggies, right, that keeps me from being in this here now. So it's like, and resistance, of course, as we all know, has so many different disguises it wears. But so that's one of the things. There's so many ways to practice with resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that when one does make, again, this is, you know, coming from my own experience, when you make that really firm commitment to live in this here now in every moment, conditioning makes an equal and opposite firm commitment to pulling the attention out, you know?
Exactly.
And I love your point that the resistance can take a lot of different forms, and one of the benefits of doing something like this where we're all going to get to see, you know, what other people are seeing about it, is that all those various forms of resistance are brought to the surface, and so we can really learn from each other's.
Exactly, right. And I love, you know, I mean, in sort of preparation for this, I had the, you know, the great fun of going through, again, the, you know, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, resistance book. And, you know, it was so great just to sort of, you know, reread a lot of that and be like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, you know, and I could see for myself, you know, just recognizing them throughout the days, like, you know, oh, yeah, that's resistance.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the other thing I was saying about it, is that just because we're not seeing it doesn't mean it isn't happening. So that extra support of turning the attention to, it can seem funny because it's like, you know, we don't want to turn the attention to resistance. We don't want to give resistance all of the attention, but we also don't want to just bury our head in the sand and, oh, you know, don't think about that. Don't, because in many ways, when we do that, the resistance can actually be the driving force, but we don't realize it. And so to have something that's bringing the attention to it so that resistance is in the field of awareness while attention stays on this here now is quite a powerful, you know, combination there.
Yeah, and I think that there's a good reason that it was named transcending resistance, right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
We're going to be looking, we're going to be recording and listening. And, you know, I suspect that in that process, every day we'll get to transcend resistance in some way.
Exactly. Precisely. Yep. We see the resistance, we get to transcend it. You know, as Ashwini often says, we can't transcend what we don't encounter. So this is a way to have the support of encountering it while also having the support to transcend it, not having to have the attention on it.
Yeah, when you were saying that, I had this great image drop in of, like, us with those, like, headlight, you know, that you, headbands you put on your head that have a big light on them. And then it's like, you know, each day we're, like, putting on that spotlight and, like, you know, deliberately looking, you know, in the dark corners for resistance.
Yeah, exactly.
And it,
and we always say, and it's fun, exactly, because I was just going to say, we always say that just that process really changes everything, because what we're trained to do by conditioning is to be afraid of it and to try to avoid it and to distract from it. But with that spotlight, it's like, no, it's not in control. I'm the one making the calls here. I'm the one, you know, directing the attention. So we get to turn the spotlight on it instead of kind of trying to run from its spotlight.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I mean, just talking about it sort of reinforces that feeling of, like, it feels just empowering. Like, you know, we're in the driver's seat. Yeah, we're the ones, you know.
Yeah.
Each prompt is going to lead us to, like, it's like a little scavenger hunt. Like, okay, you know, where's the resistance today? And, you know, what's my mentor, you know, how can my mentor help me with it today?
Yeah. So, I know that if one is signed up for the year-long process, they're already signed up, I think. Is that right?
That's very true. Yeah, they're automatically signed up and they'll be receiving information about it.
Okay.
But
But
other
if you're
people can
not
sign
signed
up
up,
too.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do they do that?
So yeah, I just wanted to point people to sign up. Go until March 12th at 5 p.m. And if you go to the Living Compassion website, you know, where there's the beautiful images on that homepage, the lotus flower is the one that's practice opportunities. And if you click on that, and then you'll see a tab that says programs. And it actually, once you scroll down, you'll see Talk and Tell has its own sort of navigation under program.
Okay, great, great. And then that brings you to a page that I see has a big register button, so that's pretty clear. Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep, exactly. And like I said, so people will have the choice then. Well, you know, once people register, they'll have the choice of how they want to receive those prompts. So whatever works best for each individual.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Well, we're at our 5 o'clock hour, Sherry, but was there anything else that you wanted to add before we turn it over to Michael?
I guess just the very last thing is that we're really, really going for 100% participation. So when people sign up, but that's part of what's really exciting to me, you know, that we're all going to be sort of doing those clicks together and, you know, really encouraging each other to participate fully in that way. And I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah, that is really fun. It's a fun challenge. Yeah, and, you know, the other thing that is very reminiscent of the steps during the bridge walk is it takes all of us.
Yes. You know? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so I'm excited. Thank you for having this time to talk about it.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us. Can't wait for the program, and thanks for all you're doing to make it happen. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's been great fun. It's good. Thank you so much, Jen.
All right, take care. Good night, Sherry.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you to start the show.
Okay, great. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my great pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, and can I tell you something exciting? That the reason that Sherry's not with us is that she's away working on the next book.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's like, can you believe that? It's like a book machine over there.
Yeah. Yeah, there's never an end to it, it seems.
No, there's always more. Yep, very fun. So that's what's going on there. That's why she couldn't be with us tonight.
Great.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Yep.
Can I share one comment on the good news?
Oh, please.
What kept coming up is that, and you said this already, but I remember hearing on a practice discussion that enlightenment is a group activity.
Yes.
And it just seems more true all the time that Sangha is so critical for all of us. And it's so relaxing too, because then it's not all up to me and, oh my goodness, it's so hard and all of that.
Yep. Yeah. You know what's interesting, Michael, as you say that, what I just saw was it's both things. In a way, it opens that relaxation that you're talking about. It's not all up to me, and I'm this little I who's going to make it happen, which, of course, can't and doesn't want to. And it also brings up an even greater sense of responsibility. It calls each of us forth to be the best we can be for our team.
Yes, it's one of those great Zen paradoxes, isn't it?
It is.
It's all about me, and yet it's not. It's about everybody.
Exactly. So it takes that sort of the illusion of the pressure off and really offers us the support of stepping forward in a way that I project we want. You know, we don't want to sit on the bench. We want to be in the game.
Yeah.
We want to be called to be our best.
Yes. And the other piece that I was saying is, you know, process versus content, that work is a group activity and family is a group activity. And, you know, it's a benefit everywhere to take that idea out.
Yeah. It's really true. It benefits everywhere in our lives is what I hear you saying.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Me too. Support from all corners.
Yes, wonderful. And I have some announcements here, unless there's something else you'd like to share with us.
No, that's great.
Okay. Reflective Listening Buddies is a great support for practice. Each week you can connect with another Sangha member in an environment of deep looking. And the sign-up deadline is April 1st, so about a month away.
Perfect. Yet another very solid support.
Yes, excellent. And support your connection to your heart with a two-week intensive focused on recording and listening, as we just heard about from Sherry and Jen. And this is the best. Yes, talk and tell. The best tool we know for strengthening practice will be demystified and explored right in your home with daily practice drills during the home intensive from March 16th through 29th.
Excellent.
And to immerse yourself in practice, if you haven't already by doing the other things, we recommend the new In This Way I Do Most Deeply Vow to Train Myself retreat being offered in four locations this year.
Four locations. Wow, that's dedication.
That is dedication. And for information on these and many other practice offerings, please visit livingcompassion.org/schedule.
All right. Excellent.
And a couple of reminders here. To make guest show, to indicate your desire to talk with Jen today, press *6 and then 1. And if folks can keep it to one topic, please, in about 5 minutes, that's really helpful. So here we go.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen. Hey, Michael. This is Eleanor.
Hey, Eleanor.
Hi. Am I really on? Yes.
You're really on.
Okay, yay. That's great. That's exciting. So I guess I'm on the right schedule. I get a Tuesday night off, and I get to talk to you again. That's wonderful.
All right. Fabulous.
I'm thankful that I've signed up for a lot of practice opportunities, and this month should be, it's going to be wonderful, I'm sure, with so much going on. I had something I did want to talk about tonight, and it actually had to do with last week's radio show, and I heard something there that I heard, like, for the first time. That maybe I'm sure it's been said before, but it really applied to something going on in my life also, as of course. And that was the discussion about, let's see, how we have memories or something that happened in our past, and the difference between going back and stirring them up and having them drop into the present in conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yep.
And so I had that direct experience, and during a practice call, and I had an image, you know, of this part. I've done, and all the subpersonality work and stuff has been very meaningful to me, but this time it dropped in, and it happened all in that one awareness. Were all those elements of acceptance, whatever, and even it was total. I'll forget the other word, but it was total acceptance and letting go in the same split second.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So if I'm tracking what you're saying, Eleanor, in other words, so you were engaged in some practice thing, maybe a reflective listening buddy call or whatever it was, and that in that, without you kind of thinking about it or anything, this memory just dropped in. And that with that memory, right in the same kind of alongside with it came an acceptance and a letting go around it.
Yes, and it did. And mm-hmm. and there was content going on that my coach had said, well, maybe you could look and see where you were when that was happening, the content.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no
mm-hmm.
idea where it was going on with my awareness because I was gone. I was all caught up in something else. And this uh-huh. whatever this that dropped in was the piece I needed to have that
yeah.
made that it was healing. That was the part I needed.
Yeah.
The missing piece of where I was during that
yeah.
What I was so identified with.
It's amazing, isn't it? I don't know if this is a piece of what you're seeing about Eleanor, but something that's so powerful for me in what you're describing is that, you know, there can be this idea that, okay, so all these things happened to me in the past, and as those things happened, traumas got created and all this stuff happened around them, and so now I need to kind of go back and pull those things apart and see what happened and what did I decide at that point and what belief was created and what da-da-da-da-da. But really all that does is that just has us go up into our head because, of course, there's no way we have no idea what actually happened. I mean, Sherry says that all the time in the actual
mm-hmm.
situation. But that what you're describing, which is also really my experience, is that all we're doing is we're practicing being present. We're practicing awareness. And that as that space of living, if we use the current email class, living and the year-long email class, living in this here now, excuse me, as that space grows, the things that are sort of just back there as the old traumas or the things that happened, it's like there's a wisdom of those things come in when there is the space for them to be healed, when there is the awareness to see what was happening.
That, exactly. And
mm-hmm.
and I think all the work in the practice of there's definitely, I can see the value of all the work I've done, like the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats and those kind of
exactly
that kind of work. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this amazing thing, and the retreat is even another example of that, because you're spending that time in awareness and focus.
Yeah.
And what drops in that same space. It comes into the awareness of
exactly.
compassion.
Exactly.
And also, yeah, the compassion, I have to say, of my heart and of
mm-hmm.
the facilitators also, and all the
yeah.
everybody, the retreatants, everybody,
yeah.
I guess it's another group sangha thing.
Yeah,
all of
truly.
It, it's accepted by on so many different levels.
You know, and it reminds me of Michael's comment after the Good News Update, just that place of, you know, there is that place of each of us is practicing, you know, we're working out our own salvation diligently, but all we're doing is we're just practicing being in awareness and being on retreat, being with Sangha, being, you know, in all those places that facilitate that experience of being here. Then we actually, it's like life takes it from there, you know? We don't actually have to do anything. We're just practicing being here, and then that all of Sangha, all of whatever retreat, I mean, whatever practice experience we're in the middle of, whether we're on retreat or we're on a coaching call or we're on whatever we're on, that practice is the thing that facilitates the movement forward. We never have to figure anything out. We don't have to make anything happen. We don't have to figure out what the trauma was and solve it. That just naturally happens as a course of being here.
Wow. Yes. I think, yeah, it's, yeah, it's wonderful. I think it's just starting to happen more for me. It's starting to happen more for me. So that's just, I'm so
well,
grateful.
You know, Eleanor, I suspect
see
it's happening.
To be there.
Yeah, exactly, to see it, to be there. And I suspect it's happening more across the board in Sangha. That's my projection.
Yeah.
Just that sense of, you know, just that place of, people are practicing all the time. That we're living in practice. you know? We're not practicing sometimes, and, you know, once a week or when I go on retreat, or, but it's like practice is holding the whole thing. And not that there isn't identification and, you know, losing our way and forgettingness and, you know, all of that, but that it's all held in the larger container of awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
very, very fun.
I guess that's what, yeah, that's what I wanted to share, and I'm happy to thank you.
Yeah, and it grows the trust, doesn't it? That the next time we find ourselves in a, you know, difficult situation or, you know, that sort of thing, or, oh, gosh, you know, I've got to think about this, or, no, I don't. No, I don't. I can just practice being here. And when something is ready to be healed or needs to be healed, or it will just drop into the present moment, just as you described.
Exactly. Exactly. Instead of figuring it out. That's practice. That's
practice.
That's good.
Very relaxing.
Yeah. And then the next step that maybe I'm working on the next step is how to go about making that recording that's from the mentor that doesn't. Okay, I'll just say that. I'm working on that, on how some of my recordings will take me back to a conditioning place. So after that happened for me, I recorded the experience, and then I wanted to record preparation for me because I knew I'd go back, and I was going back into the same content the next day, just on this one little experience. But anyway, I was trying to work with how to make the recording that I wanted. Maybe conditioning was putting some standards on that recording, maybe. Maybe it was something went awry on the recording where it felt like it. Well, I couldn't repeat the place. I can't repeat the way what that awareness feels like sometimes, and with words, I guess. What I wanted.
I think I know what you're saying. Is it one of the things I look at with that is that, okay, so there you are. You've just had this really powerful awareness. You've kind of seen through something. And then wanting to record about that, and it sounds like a piece of it is almost a sort of, since you're going into a similar situation the next day, almost like a wanting to prepare is a way it can drop in for me sometimes. And that realizing, ooh, that is dicey. Because to make a recording that's going to prepare me for a future event really does take my attention out of that present moment awareness I just had and has me projecting into the future about something that may or may not happen.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's right. And it didn't feel helpful. That's right. And, you know, as I think about it, I went into that situation the next day and kept my awareness. It was with me.
There you go. So what just dropped in for me, Eleanor, is just a simple recording for the person who has that, you know. So maybe there's a sense of like, oh no, but I have to go there tomorrow, and what if I don't keep this awareness? And just a simple recording for her that says something like, you know what, it's impossible to lose that awareness. You're a changed person. There's nothing that can take that awareness from you. Now, how it goes tomorrow, well, we'll see tomorrow. You know, I mean, we're going to keep practicing with this very likely. But in the same exact way that you're describing, that all of that just dropped in without you doing anything or thinking about anything.
Right.
However it goes tomorrow, that same process, that's what
exactly.
We want to practice.
Exactly. Yeah, that just came to me as you were talking. That's right.
Yep.
Okay, so somebody wants to cling to something again, of course, and...
Yeah, and who could blame her, you know? I mean, you know, that's the other thing we can record, like, got it, who could blame you? It feels really good.
Yeah. And on and on.
Exactly, and to remember, we don't have to cling to it. Clinging to it is actually ego's movement to take it from us.
Right, yeah. It's right. Okay, great.
Yep. All right, very
good.
Fun.
Yeah,
you have your next
you so
practice.
Much.
All right.
Take care, Eleanor.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. Night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Eleanor. And we have another call here, Jen.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jody from Atlanta.
Hey, Jody. How are you? We got the South coming tonight.
Yeah, we're representing. I'm doing okay. I always get a little shock when I get unmuted.
Right. There should be like a little 5-second warning. You're about to be unmuted. Although
exactly
it's
right.
much more zen this way, isn't it?
That's very true. That's very true.
Yeah.
It keeps me in the moment.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm dealing with right now is a lot of resistance. And I think it's just a lot of resistance to being with what is. I'm in this period of transition in pretty much every area of my life. Like, there's not, like, if you look at those big buckets of life issues,
right.
there's something going on pretty much in each one, none of which feels very comfortable in any of them. And I'm not being pulled in any direction. Like, I don't feel like the universe is guiding me in any way. So I sort of feel like I'm in the hallway, kind of waiting for what's next. And it's just, it feels really uncomfortable. And I'm trying to kind of sit with it and be in acceptance with it. But instead, it's just, it feels pretty awful a lot of the time, and you know, work feels awful. It's just like the process stuff. Like, I'm watching this process of awfulizing what's, you know, everything's really okay. It's just
right.
I'm feeling directionless.
Yeah, and it's such a tricky place, isn't it? Because, boy, it's just ripe for conditioning to take it. Because as you say, okay, I can step back and look at, it's fine. There are actually no real problems here. You know, I have plenty to eat, and I'm healthy, and I have a place to live, and, you know, all those things. But in sort of the content you're describing, there's so much room for conditioning to make inroads to try to get us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel it. Like, I've been feeling lately that sort of, I call it the voice of self-hate, that just, like, I've been starting to try to date, and the voice is just so loud now about that, about my work, and then, and just not, I always kind of say, I just can't figure out how to get myself to do my work or get myself to do these things. And, you know, I've read Sherry, the Resistance book, and it's like, you can't ever get yourself to just do.
Right. Right.
But I don't know how to
you
let go of that.
Yeah. I'm curious, Jody, because it's huge what you said, that you have the awareness that there's a process of self-hatred happening. That's giant right there, right? Because that's all supposed to be hidden.
Yeah.
You know, it's a process of self-hatred, but you're not supposed to see it as a process of self-hatred. You're supposed to see it as a process of, oh, I'm failing, or I need to do this, or I can't do that, or I don't, you know, all those things. Which I'm guessing you're going back and forth on. Sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't.
Right? Yeah.
But I'm curious if you're making the connection that for a person to be living under that level of self-hatred, it's a lot to expect of her to be able to make movements like changing a job or having motivation or finding peace and happiness. I mean, that's a tall order.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, someone who's under that kind of daily, hatred is not going to feel uplifted, is not going to feel motivated, is not going to feel clarity, is not going to, you know, it's going to feel pretty awful.
Yeah.
And then, of course, what sort of the final hook is then to come around and pin the awful on the content. Well, see, because my job's up in the air and, you know, the dating thing is going X, Y, and Z, and if only, and da, 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 and that's why I feel awful. But, of course, the awful, I mean, you, as you well know, because you've done plenty of practice to know this, the awful is coming from the internal process. It's just that it's so hard to extricate ourselves from it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's really interesting.
So is there support for the Jody who's going through this?
Yeah, I mean, I've done a couple of recordings, and I have a fantastic Zen coach, and I have some people in my life that I talk to around it. I think some of it's just habit. I mean, some of it is just going back to that voice feels very familiar and comfortable, even though it feels very painful. But it feels more real than sitting with what feels like just paralysis in my life. And that's not what it is. It's just I'm not seeing the bigger picture. So it feels like there is no bigger picture, and it just feels like I am, like, supposed to be doing something different because I shouldn't feel this. There's a lot of I shouldn't feel this way. And beating myself up for just feeling uncomfortable even. So, like, the discomfort breeds the self-hate, which breeds the discomfort, like you were saying.
Exactly. So two really important things, and I hope you'll listen back to this. One is, of course, that important language shift of you're not beating yourself up, right? You're being beaten. You very clearly describe that. And the other is, you know, I don't have the bigger picture. Well, the subtle point is someone who doesn't have the bigger picture wouldn't know that they don't have the bigger picture.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Say a little bit more.
Well, in other words, the fact that you're picking up the phone, you're calling into the radio show, you're describing this so clearly, and that there's an awareness that there isn't seeing the bigger picture, the awareness of that has to come from the bigger picture.
Mm.
That's the only place from which that can be seen. And, I mean, I think what you're describing is just so... it's so the bind for all of us, which is that we are the awareness, and we know that. You know, we know that. That's what happens to us when we come on retreat. You know, that's that amazing experience, that feeling of freedom and openness and joy and expansiveness that we all have on retreat, or we have when we're talking to our coach, or, you know, whatever times we have it. We all know that. We know that we're the awareness. We know we're not that smaller perspective, but we forget it. We forget it, and then we get identified back into that small place. But even the fact that you can say it is an indication that the awareness is holding all of this. It's just that there's that critical shift in perspective for you to kind of remind yourself of that. Again, that's where recording and listening can come in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. I need to think about it because it's really, I'm trying to get my head around it. It's an interesting shift.
Yeah, it is an interesting shift. And I think, again, the thing that's so interesting is that, in a sense, we could say you've already made it. It's just the campaign to keep you. Well, no, you haven't made it, and you got to think about it, and you got to do something to make it happen. But you actually don't. It's already happened. It's just that, I mean, you keep using that word acceptance, which is such a good word for it. You know, that bigger place of, it's completely all right what's happening with Jody. It's completely all right, you know? And that, you know, each of these areas of content in her life will unfold as they unfold. And, you know, that you're right there with her as that goes on. And, you know, if some things are difficult and painful, you know, gosh, I'm sorry, that's hard, I'm here with you. You know, those sorts of reminders of that she's not alone and that it's okay for her to feel however she feels about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You get a sense of it?
I do. That's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're most welcome, and I thank you for calling in with it, because I think it's an important place for all of us to remember that you know, as we practice, we're going to continue to encounter all of life's experiences, you know. We're sentient beings, you know. We have all the different experiences it's possible to have. And that as we're doing awareness practice, so we're not trying to get anywhere, we're not trying to have a certain feeling, we're not trying to be a certain kind of person or have our lives go a certain way. All we're doing is just, we have the bigger and bigger opportunity to bring all of it into that compassionate acceptance and to remind ourselves that it's all okay. You know, from that really, that bigger perspective that you're talking about, it truly is all okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with any of it.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the, that's funny. That's my alarm to remind me to be present.
Oh, very good.
I don't know if you heard that beeping in the background.
I did. Yeah. That's great.
That was my presence alarm.
Yeah. You know, okay, Julie, and as you say that, what just dropped in for me was, maybe just formally or informally, but just at the end of the day, acknowledge all the person is doing to support herself in this. You know, there's a lot of transition, and she's setting alarms to remind herself to be present, and she has an awareness coach, and she's calling into the radio show, and, you know, just all the things that she's doing that are an indication of, you know, she's a good person doing good things and how much she deserves your care and attention and support.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you, Jen.
Oh, you're most welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Night.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. And Jen, we're going to break here and hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Jen.
Okay, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Jen and Michael. This is Jeff in North Carolina.
Hey, Jeff. Wow, we really are hitting the south today.
I know. I was thinking that, too. It's pretty great. And it's kind of interesting because this is one of those times when, although I'm sure there's lots of things I can talk about, that there isn't one thing in particular that's kind of jumping out. I'm actually not sure what I'm going to talk about here.
Always fun.
Right. Let's see, just a moment. I think I'd like to. You know, I've been looking at this health thing for a little while, and so I think I could talk about that a little bit again.
Okay.
And I don't really have anything in particular to talk about related to that tonight, except that you know, I just feel good that I'm showing up for the process and showing up for for myself in the process. You know, I guess it's just so great to be part of practice, and to, you know, to know how to care for myself more and more.
Yeah.
And And still, you know, to be in process with that and to be learning. You know, because what, you know, even though there's certainly, you know, I get identified and all of that sort of thing, that, it's funny, what's occurring to me right now is that in some ways I don't even really, I'm going to use the word know in quotes, or maybe aware of, I'm not even aware of what I'm aware of until I start talking about it.
You
know, like right now, and just reflecting, I you know, even though I do a lot of recording, I don't think I've never kind of talked about this before, even in any of my recordings. But yeah, just kind of, I think that there's a developing process of being able to care for this person.
You know, it's funny you say that, Jeff, because just as you started and said, you know, I've got this ongoing health thing and I think I'll talk about that again, what dropped in immediately was the gift of having those pieces of content in our life that endure. You know, either they're always there, like something like a health challenge tends to be one that's fairly constant, or they cycle around. You know, maybe there's a big piece of karma that just keep kind of coming back to annually or monthly or whatever that cycle is, and that can seem like, oh, geez, you know, I'm still working with this, right? This is still going on. But in fact, it really can be a great gift for the reason that you're pointing at, which is, one, it gives us the ability to really transcend the content, transcend even not the specific content, I mean that too, but to highlight for us it completely isn't about the content. And that if this were the thing that I practiced with for the rest of my life, that's a perfectly good thing to practice with. And that in that is the process of learning to care for the human, learning that patience, learning that care, learning that, like we were just talking about with Jody, the acceptance. It's such an amazing gift to have those things in our life that call us to that.
Yeah, it is. It is so true. You know, it's funny because since you started talking about that, I can see going back and forth between the part of me that's like, well, no, that's it. I don't want this. You know, it's no, I'm not glad for it. And there's that. And then, you know, because, oh gosh, it wouldn't be great to be in, you know, perfect health and young and good and not
right,
at all that.
Right.
You know, and then on the other hand, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing.
And then on the other hand, I mean, I think I know exactly what you mean, or I know my experience of that, you know, which is, gosh, you know, how my practice has deepened and all the stuff that I've seen that I can't see how I would have seen any other way.
Exactly.
You know?
I do know, because the things that I'm guessing you've come up against in the middle of this are never things that we would choose to go, hey, Jeff, do you want to go up against this? No, thank you. I don't. I mean, it's monastic training, you know. I mean, it's all of practice, but we really see it strongly in monastic training where essentially what someone is doing is saying, hey, push all the buttons. You know, push all the buttons. And we can't. I was going to say we can't push them for ourselves. You know, over time, we do start to get pretty courageous and to choose things. You know, it's like Sherry talks about, whatever is going to drive conditioning most crazy, great, I'm going to do that, you know. So in a sense, we can push our own buttons, but boy, it's challenging to do. And so to have either put ourselves in a situation where those things will be triggered, or to just have life provide us with something where those things are triggered, and we're required to practice with them. We have no choice.
Yeah, it is so true. And, you know, as you're talking, right then, I, it's great, you know, because I'm not usually in touch with it, but although I've talked about it, you know, on open air before, that I do have a sense of it as a gift.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that's really fun and good to get in touch with, Because even though there actually is a lot of acceptance around it on whatever's going on a daily basis, but I'm not necessarily in touch very often with looking at it as a gift. But as you were talking that, that certainly, I could get in touch with that. So,
mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm. You could feel that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
so there's
go ahead.
No, I was just going to reflect what you were saying, but continue.
Okay. Well, it's just interesting what you're talking about. The idea of deliberately challenging ourselves because putting ourselves in positions where we know what will trigger conditioning the most, because I recognize that as that's a lot more challenging to deliberately choose those things. I think I do that with a lot of little things or in minor ways, but I am grateful for this, that life is saying, here's one for me to work on, or here's, something that's going to allow me to see so much and, really, I've kind of said it, but just in the last few years, just how much I really think I've gotten free of through, in terms of acceptance, in terms of what I thought was necessary for happiness.
Yeah.
In physical health was just one of those. Youth and physical health were some things that I thought. I mean, I don't know how it was partly conscious, partly unconscious, that I thought were necessary in order to be happy. And when some of the physical things started happening, there was just a lot of, resistance and hating it and anger and, sense of, feeling it's unfair and self-pity and that how could this be happening and how could life be this way and all of that. We talk about it as, my happiness is not dependent upon circumstances. And I'm not saying that I'm able to see that in all areas of life, or even with all things related to health, but I have seen for sure many times that my happiness is not dependent upon, how my health is. It's dependent upon, basically what's going on spiritually, what or whom I'm identified with, mm-hmm. in quotes. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what we always talk about as it's not what's going on, it's my relationship with it. Mm-hmm. And, once you've seen through, you just said, certainly not in every area of my life or in every area of health, do you necessarily always see that, your happiness is not necessarily tied to those content circumstances, but all it takes is one profound seeing through that, which is what you're describing, and then all it is after that is practicing duplicating that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we know it. Now you know. I mean, if there's just one piece of content that we thought, no, I have to have this in order to be happy, and then we stop and we have that patience and willingness and courage and all those things that it takes to walk through that, to have that piece of content, thrown at us for in whatever way, and then we just stay there and prove to ourselves, no, actually, I can be happy with this going on, with this thing happening, And once we've proved that to ourselves, we know, okay, well, then that's going to be true everywhere. And now it's just a matter of practicing with that, and often what life will do for us is give us bigger and bigger opportunities to practice that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that had occurred to me before. I was definitely nodding when you were saying that. It, that makes makes total sense. And I think it's my experience that, I guess it's true, you know, more and more through practice, it's my experience, you know, over time. But this is a big one, you know, that it's like, oh, wow, you know, I see that. I'm experiencing it. And it's replicable, you could say. I can look for that. You know, I know to look for that. I might forget to look for that, but at some point I'm going to remember. Or even you know, with things that are really challenging, I mean, okay, I'm not there yet with this one, but I know it's possible, and I know if I stay with it, I know if I have the courage to keep showing up and keep practicing acceptance and keep facing it, keep facing it, keep, you know, being here with it, then I will see through this one too.
Yes, and that is such a powerful recording to make, Jeff Warren. And I'm so glad you said that and just articulated that beautifully. This is a good one for the archives, because that's the recording we can, each of us can make when we're in one of those difficult places. You know, going back to the conversation with Jody, not kind of, oh, God, you know, why are you here again? And you've seen through this. Why are you feeling this way? And, you know, all the things that self-hate wants to throw at us.
Yeah,
but to have that attitude of mind of, all right, you know what, before long, this is going to be just like those others, where I'm going to look back and realize, wow, I got on the other side of that one. And maybe I don't feel like I'm here right now, but I will be soon. And, of course, again, like we were talking about with Jody, the subtle point is that actually in making that recording, technically I am on the other side of it, but, you know, it's an amazing process. And to me, there's so much, I know for myself, there's such a feeling of being cared for when I hear a recording from me like that. You know, just that profound acceptance of what's going on, not needing to change it, nothing has to be different, but knowing full well that there's a tremendous amount of awareness and there's a tremendous amount of practice happening in this. And, you know, the other piece of it that I was thinking as you were saying that the gift of the really real, you know, big content can be for each of us is that there can sort of be this place from self-hate of, oh, yeah, well, you know, okay, so you're practicing well now, or, you know, it's going okay now, but what if such and such happened? You know, you wouldn't be okay if, you know, whatever it is. And so to have one of those things actually get triggered in our lives, again, is such a place of signaling to the human, no, nothing's outside of practice. Nothing is outside of practice because, of course, you know, I mean, at the moment of death, the big event, what we want is to be here and present and with the person in that complete, you know, place of acceptance. I mean, that's what's possible for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. A couple of things about that, all the stuff that you've been saying. One is that the first one is, this is really good. Something just occurred to me about the second one. I'll get to that in a minute, too. But anyway, but the first one is, so like you're saying, to, you know, now with this awareness, you know, through the health as the content, to mm-hmm. make the, you know, all kinds of recordings that will support the being when the next challenge comes, you know, because we know it's going to happen. And so... Yeah. You know, prepare, you know, go ahead and make recordings now about, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. just all the things that you were talking about, you know, see through, you know, just the, you know, just, it's, you know, just all the courage to just show up and you know, just being here with this one and the difficult things you've gotten through in the past and, you know, you in life are strong enough to do that and, you know, and you will be again. You know, life will not give you something that you're not ready for, and so life's with you here. I'm with you here, and so you know all of that. And then the other thing that I saw, because I actually I never thought of it. Well, I don't know for some reason, but anyway, I never thought of it as a self-hating voice. I had something come up where I have this a recurrent thing where I have you know a pretty high level of pain, and every time that it happens, there's one point where, at least even though the pain will last longer than this, there's one point that, at least that comes up just about every time where there's this, it starts to be like, I can barely face it, or I can't face it, or, you know, it's just, it's so, you know, it becomes that level of, you know, I just got to move and, you know, get, and what comes up every time when that starts to happen is this thing which says, well, think about all the things you're going to, it doesn't say this in words, but basically the message is, think about all the things that are going to be more difficult than this that you're going to have to face further down the line, and you can barely face this, is basically what the message is. And, you know, so, you know, and it's saying you won't be able to face them. You won't be able to take it. You know, and they're going to be really hard and da 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 da.
Right.
So some recordings around that too. It's just what occurred, along the same lines of, you know, life's not going to give you more than you can face, and it's not about facing the future. You will never have to face the future.
Because there is no such thing.
Right. And that's what one of the things that I've noticed is that, and this is really good, and I really want to record about this, is the future is always unmanageable.
Yes.
The future is always unmanageable.
Yeah.
But now is never unmanageable. When I'm in the now, because what my mind, when those worst places, what my mind wants to talk me into is, yes, it's really bad now, and you can barely face it now, but it wants to get me into the future and how bad it's going to be to really ramp up that fear and the sense that I'm inadequate and can't face it and all of that.
Beautifully put.
And so, recordings about that the future, yes, the future is always unmanageable, but you will never have to face the future and
stuff
like that.
You'll never have to face the future. Oh, thank you for that, Jeff. That was eloquently put. Really, really good.
Thank you very much, Jen.
Oh, you're most welcome. I really appreciate you calling in with that. That was very helpful.
Great. Great, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Take care.
You're
welcome.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. And Jen, I think we have time for one more caller here.
Okay, great.
Okay, next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. Great. Thank you. Well, I just called to check in to say
good.
I'm here and I'm practicing.
Excellent.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the email class. And I think that one of the things that I got out of it was that the idea that I'm always training for something. And I never saw it that way before, but all of a sudden it was like, oh, you know, before it was kind of like, well, am I either training with my practice or, you know, I don't know what else I'm doing. But now it's really clear that I'm either training with compassionate awareness or with life, or I'm training with, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Right, right. Yeah, it's kind of like that we talk about sometimes, we're always willing for something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of what are we willing for? Are we willing for freedom or are we willing for suffering?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I'm training. I'm always training. I'm always practicing something. You know, it's the what you practice is what you have.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I know we talk about it a lot, but it just all of a sudden it was like, oh, I really am, you know, practicing. You know, it just helps to sharpen my focus and bring more awareness, I guess, to daily life. Like, oh, what am I practicing right now? What am I training for right now?
Exactly. It makes it really different, doesn't it, to take it from an intellectual concept to really getting it. Because when we really get it, then we start to pay attention to, okay, well, what am I training on right now? Well, I'm training to worry. I don't really want to do that.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And all those conversations about, you know, digging a deeper karmic rut. I see. I kind of start to get that a little bit more. And how just the just how it plays out step by step. This is how you go deeper into one way, or this is how you cultivate this other way. So.
So you see through the class, you saw a little bit more about the how-to on that process.
Yeah, and there must have, I'm guessing there was something about the exercises, the assignments, that helped to really develop that idea of training for training to live or to be aligned with life. And I don't know. I guess I just to use the training metaphor, it's like. I feel like now I'm the athlete and I'm it's clear that I'm training now for what I'm clear what I'm training on and that every moment is spent training for something. So
and it sounds like you've noticed some practical sort of manifestations of that in your life.
Well, sure, around deep conditioned habits of worry, anxiety, trying to plan or think about something that hasn't happened yet, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't have to work that out. Life's got it.
Yeah.
God,
good, isn't it?
It's so good. I can't tell you. So part of that is just I think related to that idea that I don't want to train repetitive. You know, one of the exercises was about repetitive and rehashing thoughts.
Right.
I think that probably was the one that kind of really lit this up, but, you know, I don't want to keep repeating the same worn-out thinking patterns because that's training me to live the life that I don't want to live. So
it's so true, Virginia. And, you know, as you say that, what I see is that, so there we are. We realize we're doing this, you know, thinking about something and rehashing it and, oh, you know, what about and worrying and that sort of thing. And there can be this resistance to dropping it because it feels like, well, I got to do something about this. I mean, how's this thing going to solve itself, right? So before that awareness that, oh, right, life has it, drops in, that piece of, okay, maybe I don't know what direction to go in. Maybe I'm not sure kind of how to handle this, but here's what I do know. I don't want to be training to do this.
Right.
You know, it's just that awareness of, this process, what's going on with me right now, is not, it doesn't feel good, it's not where I want to live, it's not how I want to live. That right there can be all the motivation we need to drop that, and then we just let life inform the next thing.
Yes. And as you were speaking, it occurred to me that in addition to knowing I don't want to be there, it's like a little window opened up that allowed a choice.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
That window isn't always there, so it was really feels like a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. And I would project that window was opened by awareness.
Yes, opened by awareness, yes. Or recognized, perhaps it's there always and was just
recognized. Yeah, exactly. Exactly, like the, you know, often in Buddhism that image of the dust being, you know, pulled away from the eyes. So the clarity is there, it's just there's something clouding it.
Right.
And then to have it revealed again.
Exactly. So I feel really grateful for the email class, for the radio show, for all of our practice supports. They really, I think what... tagging along to what you were just talking about with Jeff, that all those things, you know, they build up a certain momentum so that even if things aren't clear or haven't yet dropped in, there's a growing trust that if I stay the course, that it will drop in, life will drop something in.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? As you're saying that, I'm sort of seeing a theme running all the way through the evening of that, you know, that place of Eleanor was talking about it, of life just heals this thing. I wasn't even thinking about it. You know, it just, there it is. And then we find ourselves in places where, you know, we're in transition, we're not sure how things are going, or there's a difficult health thing going on, but that all of our practice that's come before and all of the practice that's happening in Sangha is the support that sort of builds that foundation of trust to carry us through in that way that Jeff was talking about of, okay, well, maybe I haven't seen through this one, but I will.
Right.
You know, I will, and it's okay. This isn't a mistake. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah. Exactly, that really solid foundation of, yeah, I don't know what it is, all that energy. And it's funny because at the beginning of the show when you mentioned that you were on day three of the Making a Change for Good program, and because that was an extra credit assignment in the email class, and it was really fun to hear you say that because I'm on day three too, and it was like, yeah.
Yeah. I know.
We're all doing this together.
Yeah. I had the same thought, Virginia. I was like, wow, I'll bet you a lot of people picked up that extra credit assignment, you know, from the email class. And it has a momentum to it, doesn't it? That,
it's,
you know,
really,
we're all out there in our little corners doing our part.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Michael. I don't know what time it is, but I sense it's close to time to...
I think it's probably close to time. So, but thank you, Virginia, for calling in, and it takes all of us.
Yeah, it certainly does. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia, and thanks for joining us, Jen. Each of us doing our part in our corner of the world. It's great, huh?
Each of us doing our part in our corner of the Sangha. That's right. Yep.
Yep.
And thank you to you, Michael, week after week.
My pleasure and privilege. And we'll do it again.
Okay, great. Good night.
Thank you, Jen. Good night.